This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome to the War Room. It's Friday, March 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. It's Natalie G. Winters hosting, filling in for the one and only Stephen K. Bannon. But we have a very, very packed show, of course, the day after the State of the Union. But we'll give you the signal, not just the noise. There's so much going on the fronts of disinformation, the vaccines, you name it. I had a hard time picking out all my guests for today because there's so much news to get through. But I wanted to start the show off with, of course, Dr. Naomi Wolf, because I see an interesting new trend emerging. There was a big story showing that Gavi, this is called a Global Vaccine Alliance, which, trigger warning, I know, right? Stop me right there. But they're starting to take aim at memes. They're saying disinformation and misinformation is sort of the primary conduit whereby people like you, people like myself, can kind of foment this anti-COVID-19 or just generally anti-vaccine sentiment. I'm curious to get your take, first of all, on the fact that Gavi seems to be doubling down on this type of rhetoric, who they are in the first place, and where you think they're going to go with this leading into the 2024 election.
Yeah, as I often say, you know, these people, these global elites don't spend money or campaign strategists' time or lawyers' time doing things they're not going to use. So I'm quite worried about this. It's not in the rearview mirror. You know, even though most people now know that the whole drama was a gigantic lie, my concern is that by identifying misinformation, by defining it, by commissioning spokesmodels from the academy to weigh in on the conversation, which is a wholly owned platform for academics or academics, you know, all of it being funded, of course, by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which are the ones who are going to be in the crosshairs if people are ever brought to trial and face justice. My worry is that it is beating the drum for a criminalization of certain kinds of speech. And it's our speech, it's your speech, and it's my speech. And that tactic of, you know, mirror imaging, saying that we're doing what they do, that we are calling the vaccinated names and saying they're brain damaged and they lack fertility, which is true. There is brain damage and there is loss of fertility. But, you know, saying that they're being treated in Nazi-like ways, all of that is literally taking analyses we've done and flipping them kind of against us. And so here's my concern. Since we last spoke, I believe that Ireland has some new laws against speech. I believe France has some new laws against speech. Canada's laws against speech have become very draconian indeed. And so this kind of drumbeat is a precursor to recasting criticism of vaccines or even analysis of the vaccines as hate speech or as a thought crime with penalties. And the penalties could be, well, Daily Cloud, for instance, isn't allowed to be shared off of Facebook in Canada, right? And people face jail time for other kinds of speech in Ireland. So what the preparation is to move this kind of commentary into the category of a crime. It'll be harder to do in the United States because of our First Amendment, but not impossible. And then the other thing that I want to call your attention to, of course, is that the National Guard has been rolled out in New York, or you called my attention to it. We were calling each other's attention to it. And when you've got the military in the streets taking over the role of civil policing, that is literally the definition of a police state. I mean, you no longer have a democracy. That's step 10. It's over. That's the hallmark of a fascist regime. So when that happens, they can come get you if you commit a meme, right? And they can hold you if you commit a meme. And I want to remind everyone, too, if they're not freaked out enough already, that the 2012 Defense Authorization Act made it possible for the president to hold journalists without charge or trial, well, anyone, indefinitely. And people have forgotten that, or they're not paying attention to it. But now that the National Guard is deployed into our subways, where I'm now terrified to, you know, venture, we need to worry about that because, oh, you've committed a meme. You're coming with us, miss. I mean, that's really where we are.
It always intrigues me when people say, I know President Trump, speaking at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday, focused a lot on his administration's COVID response and kind of COVID as the thing itself, when people are so quick to say, oh, let's move on, we don't want to talk about it. While I agree, I also think it's important to understand that they're using that same exact playbook, right? The left, the establishment, has not moved on from COVID. They've just sort of rebranded these public health crises or emergencies into whatever it may be now, whether it's, you know, climate change or racism, is sort of the new pretext to implement these draconian policies. And I think what you bring up, what they're doing in New York, we had Gavin Wax on the show to discuss it, but I saw you had a wonderful tweet, which if the studio has, they can put it up. It encapsulated the threat quite nicely, which I know they like to make these plans so big, they're so hard to distill, but you did a very good job of doing it. If you could walk us through kind of your logic as to, you know, I'm sure they're trying to pretend like they're tough on crime. You watch MSNBC, they say, oh, Governor Hochul's actually really tough on crime because she put, like, you know, 750 National Guardsmen out to check some girls' purses in the subway. It's the Republicans who are actually soft. It's ridiculous. But I'm just curious, taking a step back on the sort of more meta level of analysis as to what you think their end game really is, walk us through the tweet you put up. And like I said, if the studio has it, you can throw it up.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of the end result of trends I've been warning about for a really long time. But you know, Natalie, that I've been saying for nearly 2 years on this show that we're being targeted as a target of war, that a war is being waged against us, right? So look at what is possible now. New York is always the canary in the coal mine. So you deploy 750 National Guard, then maybe it's 1,000 National Guard, then it's 3,000 National Guard. Well, with National Guard, you can mix in mercenaries. And this is what happened in France when they were beating protesters about a year and a half ago. It's what they did in Ottawa when the truckers were protesting. There were very scary, gigantic mercenaries mixed in there with the civil policing. And what I've been worried about, and I wrote about it in an essay, is that of the 15 million people who have poured in over our open southern border, a number of them come from countries that produce mercenaries, like Azerbaijan and Angola. So mercenaries could be flowing into our country, and we are not aware of it. And I'm also aware that these fighting age men mostly are being assembled in certain key sensitive areas in the United States, in barracks type settings, or in, you know, in Chicago O'Hare Airport, incredibly sensitive settings. Well, my grandparents were immigrants. No one gave them a barracks. You know, your grandparents or great grandparents were probably immigrants. No one gave them a barracks. No one ever housed other groups of immigrants together. And people really need to pay attention to that at the behest of the state. And so you've got now a situation where we're leading up to October. President Trump is winning right now, it would appear. No way. I mean, God, I hope I'm wrong, but my political analyst brain says it's highly unlikely that we'll just saunter into a fair and clean election in which President Trump wins another 4 years without some kind of catastrophe. And so now you've got New York has people checking bags because of crime, right? And I warned that the criminals coming over the border would be used as the excuse to crack down on our liberties because of the emergency of the crime that they have imported, right? So then Chicago rolls out the National Guard, then San Francisco rolls out the National Guard. There are Chinese police stations that have been revealed in San Francisco, right? And then, and you've got all of these dissidents, and then and you've got the cartels, right? And you're seeing these very spectacular crimes. You know, young women having their heads bashed in, you know, horrible, horrible, you know, police officers being beaten in the street, things that we really never saw before. I don't think that's organic. I think this is messaging, and it's a shock tactic. I think people have been given their orders. I think that creating fear in the population is part of the deliverable for these cartels, these groups coming in over the border. And I'm just saying to you, like, you know, we send small groups of special forces to overthrow governments by dropping them in there, giving them ATMs and, you know, and weapons and ATM cards and weapons and a phone. And then they can seize an airport or seize a radio station by simply killing the guard. You know, like, it's that simple. You know, you could take over O'Hare Airport by simply, you know, assaulting some guards with the dozens of people they have there. So where I'm going is all these people are being put into place at a signal. You know, think about what happened at the southern border of Israel with just a handful of terrorists. At a signal, you could have 50 spectacular atrocities. Then the media covers the 50 spectacular atrocities. There's a lockdown of all the major cities. The National Guard is already in place. They lock down the cities. And that's it. We've been invaded from within, and we are all serfs. It, like, that's how I would invade. It's the Trojan horse. Right. We've seen this in history. They let the Trojan horse in. Oh, look, it's a gift. It's not very serious. It's a big, pretty horse. And then the soldiers were in the city. That's what's happening now. And the National Guard, you know, they're supposed to obey the commander in chief. If the commander in chief is compromised or a traitor, they're going to obey the commander in chief. And if there are mercenaries mixed in with them, they'll do whatever their orders are, and we're going to have a catastrophic situation in which, you know, the next step after that is the people with the D for dissident on their digital, you know, list get a knock on the door and get taken away to Kathy Hochul's quarantine camps. Like, these things all work together, and it's not news. This is how history works. This is the map.
While I love the Trojan horse illusion, I think at least the city of Troy had a gate and had borders. I don't even think we have those. We'd be in a better position if we were like them. Dr. Wolf, I'll hold you through the break. If it sounds like you have a lot of positive news that you want to share with us. We got about 2 minutes. So I know, I feel bad. I always bring you on the show, and I feel like we get everyone worked up. But let's give them some good dopamine hits. Tell us what you guys have been working on at the Daily Clout.
Well, the good news is there is good news. Your wonderful War Room Daily Clout Pfizer documents researchers, one of the leaders, Dr. Chris Flowers, was invited to speak to the Brazilian Senate. And he and other luminaries, Dr. Peter McCullough and others, made a presentation to the Brazilian Senate. Remember, Brazil had been mandating these injections on children, little kids, I think 5 to 11-year-olds. And they were going down to 6 months to 5-year-olds. And at the end of the testimony that same day, the Senate deliberated and then voted to not mandate children and babies. So that's your posse's achievement. That's for all of you. You did that.
That's so exciting. You know, Dr. Wolf, give us your coordinates, give us your socials where people can go to read all your reports. I know you guys are always doing great, great work. And how can they follow you?
Thank you. We are at dailyclout.io. We're also now on Substack, Best of Daily Clout. And you can follow me on Outspoken on Substack as well. And the Pfizer book, Pfizer Papers, is coming out in May. And meanwhile, you can get the first Pfizer book on Amazon.
Dr. Wolf, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Natalie.
I stand by what I said about the Trojan horse. I wish it were an apt metaphor for the situation. But I think the city of Troy had better borders than we ever did. I also think yesterday we should have had House Republicans do some maybe a little better counter programming. I would have taken, I don't know, at least one mention of President Trump. Maybe we could have done a State of the Border address. Could have said Lake and Riley's name a few more times. But the rest of the show, we have some people who are going to cover that and so much more. Speaking of Trojan horses, I think we'll get into TikTok a little bit. We got Terry Schilling joining us after the break. And in the meantime, you can go to birchgold.com/Bannon, and we'll be right back after this break.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
To protect fundamental rights, pass the Equality Act. And my message to transgender Americans, I have your back.
If the Equality Act is about equality, then I guess Joe Biden was right last night that our economy is currently the envy of the world. I believe that was a direct quote. I don't know about you guys, but ask, I would say, anyone in this country except maybe the top 1%, the ruling class who probably helped dictate the talking points that Joe Biden was using last night. Our economy is not the envy of the world, and I would say probably neither is Western culture at the current moment, given what's going on with transgenderism, feminism, you name it, all the isms. Someone who's been doing great work on this, we always have on the show, is, of course, Terry Schilling from the American Principles Project. Terry, I'd love to get your thoughts. What's so funny? I'd love to get your thoughts on the State of the Union last night through the lens of what you guys focus on, not just strengthening the family, but particularly on the issue of transgenderism.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Natalie. I just want to point out that this was the only line that Joe Biden dedicated to the LGBTQ plus PEDOPHILESs in this country. And, you know, just keep in mind, he didn't go into any detail. And this is what happens with the LGBT movement is they only focus on the most popular things, which is to end discrimination against the LGBT community. Once you start digging into the actual policies that they're pushing and the actual things that they would like to achieve, like more sex change procedures for minors, then it starts to get a lot more unpopular. I've spent almost 7 figures now on polling and focus groups and testing this stuff with where the American people are. And we've tested every angle of the sex change procedure for kids act, or, you know, actions. And it is so unpopular. It is 60 to 80%, depending on how you test it, of Americans are against allowing kids to go through these procedures. They want to ban them. Americans are not crazy. They're just polite, and they don't want to discriminate against people unfairly. And so, it's very telling what he didn't say. Right. He didn't talk about giving gender modification and mutilation surgeries to minors. He didn't talk about giving them puberty blockers and blocking their natural development. These are all things that are very unpopular. And if it was popular, he would have spent a lot more time digging into it and articulating it. And so it's one thing. You can take a lot from someone and what they say, but you can learn a lot from what they don't talk about.
There's some interesting dissonance because I agree with you on the polling stuff, but just today, or maybe it was late yesterday, GLAAD, one of these other, you know, acronym organizations, who knows what they stand for, and it's always a lie, it's always about equality or something like that, but they put out some polling saying that they believe that the majority of Americans, basically the inverse of what you said, actually think that candidates should abstain from going on the attack when it comes to these gender issues, which I feel like the last few years empirically is just categorically false. But I'd love to get once more kind of your rebuttal to that. But maybe even more importantly, why is this group putting out this just very clearly incorrect analysis of issues that are very, very bad for the Democratic Party to be aligning themselves behind?
Well, the good thing about when you have the truth on your side is you don't have to spend a lot of time or money or resources convincing people to join you. When you have the truth on your side, it just resonates so much more. What we're seeing from GLAAD in the survey that you're talking about, because you sent it to me earlier today and I really dug into the questions and the numbers. First of all, they oversampled LGBT people. Right. So like I think they sampled like 896 people out of this 1000 person survey. So you're oversampling. Exactly. But the questions that they asked were all, I agreed with the questions, right? They're asking questions like, do you support politicians that deny healthcare access to transgender Americans and LGBTQ Americans? Like, of course I don't. I want them, if they need a hysterectomy because they have uterine cancer, I want them to get healthcare. You know, if they have other needs, I want them to get healthcare procedures. But do I want the government paying for sex change procedures? Do I want the government, pushing sex change procedures on kids? Absolutely not. And these polls that the LGBT lobby does, they're just propaganda mechanisms. They're just tactics to try and persuade people and actually scare politicians who are fighting this very important fight. They're trying to scare them away from it to get them to couch. But Natalie, the thing that I'm really concerned about is, you're having these lawsuits come forward from people like Chloe Cole, who was transitioned and had surgeries done to her at age 15 in California. She's now suing these doctors and these hospitals that did it. Well, guess what the blue states are doing now? They're passing legislation that would eliminate patients' rights to get justice if they were pushed into and misled into these procedures. Just last night, Rhode Island was passing legislation on this. Maine is now doing it. California is already doing it as well. But this is out of control. The law, they know that the lawsuits and the medical malpractice lawsuits are what's going to be the undoing, because this is consumer fraud. You can't change your sex. You can't change your gender. It's all a lie. And these surgeries and hormone procedures, they're all based in ideology that's fraudulent and in a corrupted medical industrialization complex.
I want to take a step back, because I think when we talk about the surgeries, whatever, the gender-affirming care, however they want to euphemize it, that's sort of the final step, the final stage of the conveyor belt, right? These young kids, whether it's through social media exposure, just the normalization of these ridiculous gender alternatives in classrooms with, you know, teachers who could only be described as groomers. But to sort of take a step back and start at square one, right, the origins of this transgender movement, and of course we could talk very long about the Frankfurt School and critical theory and all that jazz, but there's a really interesting story that I think hasn't gotten quite a lot of pickup from Peter Schweitzer in his new great book. Obviously, he does wonderful work, but talking about how two of the primary kind of backers, to the tune of billions of dollars, of a lot of this transgender stuff in the United States, one of them is Joseph Tsai, who is linked to Alibaba, is linked to the Chinese Communist Party's United Front Work Department. That's their sort of political warfare arm that operates here in the United States that a lot of my previous reporting had to do with. But these are the people who are really behind this movement, right? As George Soros is to the DAs, these China-linked billionaires are to the transgender movement. So I'm just curious, you know, in your opinion, do you think it's fair to say that in some ways this gender kind of ideology, the stuff that they're pushing, it is a form of information warfare being waged mm-hmm. against young people in this country?
Absolutely, Natalie. No, you are spot on. What has happened is these billionaires, decades ago, started funding these nonprofits, and then those nonprofits started funding colleges and universities, and they started introducing these ideologies into college kid classes. And those college kids are now becoming doctors, they're becoming teachers in grade schools. And guess what they're doing? They're now pushing this agenda onto grade school kids. And every state that in the country that has one of these anti-discrimination laws based on gender identity, which is a fake social construct that should not be acknowledged or recognized any way, shape, or form, they are now pushing this ideology onto children. So what they've done done through, it started with billionaires pushing this and funding it with their own private dollars. They've now done what George Soros has done, which is you use private dollars, you start a public-private partnership, and then you pull that private funding away, and now the government is left to either decide to continue funding this stuff at the full amount or to have these private ideologues who are billionaires come after them and unelect them all, right? Because they're discriminating against transgender Americans. They've created a pipeline starting in grade school all the way to college. And even after that, right? It's not just the schools, it's social media accounts, it's TikTok. It's we're doing everything that our adversaries want us to do, right? If you look, if you just be objective here, right? A thriving society, everyone knows what gender they are. Everyone's comfortable with what they're born as and they're thriving and they're accepting it. What we are doing is exactly what the CCP would want us to do, which is to mutilate and sterilize our children, causing our potential extinction. Right, you're cutting out entire family lines. I'm the eldest of 10 kids, right? That started from two parents loving each other and getting married. And guess what? I've got seven. I just had my seventh kid. They are eliminating human beings, and that's the real purpose here. They want control. It's easier to control a small group of people than it is to control a large group of people. So this is there's an ideological aspect to it. There's a financial aspect to it, but at the end of the day, it's all just evil and damaging and destructive to humanity.
I'd say it's the real great replacement theory. That's right. I went there. But it shouldn't be lost on anyone that it's China funding a lot of this. I mean, you think about the Little Red Guard, what Mao did, the Cultural Revolution. It always starts with the children, whether it's socialism or communism. They've always gone after the family unit, the children, to sort of usher in this radical change, except maybe this time instead of being the little red guard, it'll be the little trans guard or the little LGBTQ whatever guard. But Terry, we got about a minute. Let everyone know where they can go to support you guys, support the work you're doing at APP, but also maybe show us a little ankle on where you guys are going with some of the fights, especially going into the 2024 election on the gender stuff, how you guys are pushing back.
Well, thank you so much, Nally. But you can check us out at AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. Find me on social media at Schilling1776 across all social platforms. We're going to spend $20 million here to help get President Trump elected by taking advantage of Democrats' extremism. I was just in Dallas yesterday. We shot commercials with four detransitioners. These are people that were kids who transitioned, who came to regret it. And they're all telling their stories, and they're attacking Joe Biden and Democrats in this country. We've also got ads we're producing with whistleblowers. We're a persuasion outfit. We take advantage of the Democrats' extremism on all of the issues pertaining to the American family, the ones that work the best. And so we're going to be spending millions of dollars this year helping get President Trump elected. We will lose our country. I was at an event last night with Steve Bannon. He's exactly right. We are going to lose our country. We're going to lose the next generation of Americans and our own children if we don't reelect this guy. The soul of our nation really is at stake. Joe Biden's exactly right. It's just he's on the wrong side of this soul fight.
See, Steve gets to go to all the fun things. He gets to go to the events. Well, I host the show. No, I'm kidding. Yesterday I had to fill in because he was meeting with Viktor Orban, which I would say it's worth having Natalie Winters on board. Terry Schilling, thank you so much for joining us. And Warren Posse, we will be back. We got Bradley Thayer, speak of Trojan horses, talking about TikTok, and Brittany Martinez from EV Magazine, talking more culture war. We'll be right back.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
That last segment, when we were talking about all the cultural degeneracy, it got me thinking about my time on the Whatever podcast. I had a little bit of a PTSD, but against my better judgment, I'll be going back on that wonderful podcast, I think, the end of this month. See how unfair it is? Steve gets to go to the nice events with all the people who come on the show, and I have to debate only fans and adult film stars. But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. But I am glad that I get the chance to talk about the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, my favorite thing to talk about, with the one and only Dr. Bradley Thayer. Now, I know TikTok is sort of the news right now on the Hill. I'd love to just get your assessment in terms of why, I'm sure you agree with me, why we need to ban it and where you think some of this opposition, the heel dragging from our elected Republicans is coming from in terms of thwarting efforts to ban it.
Well, hi, Natalie. It's great to be with you this evening. Absolutely. TikTok is a spy device. If you've got TikTok on your phone, you have the Chinese Communist Party on your phone. And that's required by Chinese law. So the relationship between TikTok's owner ByteDance, which is a Chinese company, and thus in order to operate, has to maintain, of course, remain in the good graces of the Chinese Communist Party. And Chinese law requires that ByteDance share information that they gather through TikTok with the Chinese intelligence community or with Chinese military and with the Chinese party. So TikTok equals the Chinese Communist Party's on your phone, which is why quite reasonably states around the world, including India, have banned TikTok. And within the United States, of course, states, most importantly, Montana, Arkansas, and many others, over 30 states have some type of restriction on TikTok. It's simply a good idea to ban it, because not only is it collecting intelligence, but it also is a tool of election interference. And that is in the way that the algorithm is able to skew, if you will, images, right, to control the narrative that the CCP wants. And so TikTok is really allowing Xi Jinping to interfere with American voters and to interfere directly with the images, ideas, memes, essentially deep fakes. You know, the list of or the avenues of election interference, of course, are numerous. And so it's a very dangerous application to have on. And so yesterday, the House Energy and Commerce Committee voted 50-0 to move forward with a bill that would require ByteDance to separate from TikTok or be banned. And Scalise has said, Republican Majority Leader Steve Scalise has said that he'll bring it to the floor next week. And Biden has said that he would sign it, of course, if it gets obviously through the House and through the Senate. So in that respect, although there's reason to be doubtful that it could get through the Senate, and there's also reason to doubt that Biden would actually sign it, given that the Democrats rely on it heavily to reach Gen Z and other voters. That does suggest that at least there's some momentum in working to ban it.
You know, I really think it's so simple, right? The Chinese Communist Party is at war with us. They have been for a while now. It's unrestricted warfare. It's not kinetic warfare. It's information warfare. That's one of the primary strategies that they use. And TikTok is one of the primary conduits whereby they're waging this information warfare, full stop, right? It's not that complicated to understand. And when you see the degenerate content that they're pushing on there, that dovetails, I think, quite nicely with the segment that we had before, this weird alternative gender stuff. which leads to, of course, declining birth rates here. Of course, they're promoting ardent Chinese Communist Party propaganda. It shows you how beholden Capitol Hill is to the Chinese Communist Party. And the only thing I'd add is when they try to frame it through the lens of, oh, well, it's just another big tech platform. We can't ban it because then we're just going to embolden and empower Facebook. Newsflash, all the big tech companies are in bed with the Chinese Communist Party. TikTok is maybe a little bit more so because it's owned by ByteDance. I remember reporting I did a few years ago, showing that their founder admitted that they created the app to create devotion to socialist causes. That's basically a direct quote. It is ardently an arm of the Chinese Communist Party, and it shows you how fundamentally unserious our Republican elected betters are up on Capitol Hill. But I guess the only thing they're good at is losing. But Dr. Thayer, speaking of, I guess, more so kinetic warfare, there have been some interesting developments when it comes to China and their nuclear program. I know there's a great column by Bill Gertz. If you want to walk us through some of that, I'm sure the audience would probably not appreciate it, but they want to be informed.
Absolutely. And Bill Gertz, of course, is a great reporter writing for The Washington Times, and he had a very important article this week based on testimony that U.S. Air Force General Anthony Cotton gave on the Hill. And General Cotton, the commander of United States Strategic Command, expressed, as his predecessor did, Admiral Charles Richard, that the growth of the Chinese nuclear force has been breathtaking. It has been growing year after year after year in terms of the expansion of their nuclear capabilities. And Bill Gertz and his reporting reveal that there's a new mobile intercontinental ballistic missile that the Chinese are beginning to field or will shortly field. And so this is very dangerous, of course. It shows, first of all, the intent of nuclear domination. What the Chinese Communist Party is attempting to achieve is world domination, and that requires many different avenues to advance, including information warfare, as we were just talking about with TikTok, giving Xi Jinping the ability to influence American voters in 2024 presidential and congressional elections. But that also requires nuclear superiority. And while the growth of the Chinese nuclear arsenal and its capabilities has been breathtaking, essentially modernization of our triad, essentially the land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles, submarine-launched ballistic missiles, and bomber and cruise missile forces, has been breathtakingly moribund. It has been proceeding at a pace which is nowhere near what the Chinese Communist Party is doing. Now, nuclear superiority matters. It matters because if the PRC were to achieve that, that's going to give them the ability to coerce us in crisis situations. And it's also going to have a huge impact on our allies like Japan and Australia, as well as key partners like Taiwan and India. So what the PRC is doing is alarming, breathtaking, as General Cotton said and Admiral Richard have said separately. And the lack of U.S. response, the seriousness with respect to modernization of U.S. nuclear arsenal, as well as our conventional capabilities in the Indo-Pacific, is not what it should be. And the Biden administration is many steps behind, reassuring our allies about the credibility of the U.S. extended deterrent to Japan, Australia, of course, and that the United States will check the growth of Chinese military power in order to deter it, right? We don't want a war to commence. We want to deter a war. And deterring a war requires U.S. superiority in the nuclear realm and in the conventional realm. And there's reason to doubt both. And that's a recipe for tremendous trouble. It's a recipe that it's a lesson we learned in the Cold War against the Soviet Union. And it seems it's a painful lesson we're going to have to relearn in the present Cold War against the People's Republic of China.
If only someone had written a book that gave us the relevant background knowledge to help us understand all of these converging crises. It's almost like you did. Embracing Communist China. I know you and your co-author did a wonderful job on the book. If people want to get the book, read it, follow you, stay up to date with everything you're working on and writing. I know you write for warrooms.org a lot, but where can they go to do all that?
Well, Natalie, thank you very much. James Fennell and I co-authored the book Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. And in the book, we recount how this happened. How is it that China rose from being just a fraction of world gross domestic product in 1990 to being essentially about one-fifth of it in 2019? And it did so as a result of political warfare strategy executed by Deng Xiaoping, but also our failures. Failure of our political leadership and of Wall Street, the Chamber of Commerce, which raced hand over fist to make money in China, shifting our manufacturing, of course, and investing in it. Themes that, of course, the War Room covers extremely well, and you do, and Steve do, of course, extraordinarily in that respect. So we recount that, how this happened, and what we should do about it in the book. And it's available at Amazon or wherever you buy books. And then, of course, you can find my writings at War Room, of course, or at Bradley Thayer at Getter, or Bradley Thayer at Truth, or Brad Thayer at X. And thanks, Natalie,
Dr.
very
Thayer,
much.
Dr. Thayer, you need to get a profile picture and a cover photo for your Getter profile. You look like a bot account from what I see on the screen. That's your assignment next time you come on the show.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Thayer.
Yes,
I have to say, it's days like these that I'm always proud to own an entirely USA-made clothing company. It's so great. A lot of the companies and factories that I'm partnered with out back home in Los Angeles, they actually are working to basically go up against Chinese Communist Party, really domination of the apparel market here in the United States, particularly the domestic yarn industry. It's really scary, really, the stranglehold that they have over our supply chains on basically every single product. So if you ever want to support the brand, support me. You got to get the Take Down the CCP sticker, the misinformation hat. We have a bunch of new limited edition designs. You can go to shesoright.co to shop all of that. You can stop giving your money to people that hate you while still showing your values in a way, if I may humbly say so, is stylish. It's not ugly. Someone who else is also very, very stylish and cool, and aesthetically I try to make my brand just one-tenth of what they have going on, is Brittany Martinez from EV Magazine. Now, Brittany, I'll hold you through the break. We got about 3 minutes. I want to talk about what Big Pharma is doing in terms of the lies that they're spewing to young girls about birth control. So before we get into what you're doing to sort of counter-program that, why don't you set the stage for the audience, really, for what is, let's call it what it is, the propaganda that has been pushed on young girls when it comes to hormonal birth control.
Hi, Natalie. Well, thank you so much for having me again. I'm wearing your hat right now. I wish I could be on video with it. But yeah, it's like the whole vaccine thing. Big Pharma's been pushing the birth control pill on women, even when you're 16, for acne, for any issue, and it doesn't actually help the issue. It's just a Band-Aid. So now we have a generation of women who have had all these horrible side effects, and we've been the guinea pigs for decades for this birth control pill because they originally tested it on men and their testicles were shrinking, so they stopped taking it. So they ended up taking it to poor women in Puerto Rico, testing it on them. Some of them became infertile, some of them died. So it's like there are all these side effects that women weren't told. And when you get off the pill, unfortunately, your hormones are so out of whack. And then they're like, oh, go back on a different birth control pill, and the cycle continues. And now we have this whole fertility and, fertility epidemic and hormone epidemic.
Kind of reminds me of what they did with the COVID vaccines, right? It used to be, oh, there's no side effects. Oh, we've done all the studies, right? And then they do the studies, and it turns out, right, all the disinformation spreaders. I'll hold you through the break. We got to jump in about 30 seconds. But what you're doing, just like what we set out to do here in the War Room, is action, action, action. You're fighting back against it. And I know the audience, you guys maybe feel like maybe predominantly men, maybe a little older, but you don't understand, I think. You know, we talk a lot about information warfare here, and of course the cultural stuff, the declining birth rates, but what they have been pushing and peddling with young girls when it comes to hormonal birth control, saying it's all part of the plan. We'll be right back.
The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
I'd say I take a lot of issue with the same people who think that Dylan Mulvaney is the paragon of femininity being the ones who are going to defend what actually, you know, makes women women and their hormones and their health. And frankly, the same people who botched all those COVID-19 studies and mandates, still waiting for the accountability on that House committee on the COVID pandemic. But I won't hold my breath. Brittany Martinez, I want you to walk us through what you're doing to sort of, like I said, counter-program some of the lies to women who have fallen for sort of the mainstream narrative on hormonal birth control, how you're helping them out, what you're doing now.
Well, we just launched our first product. So I have another company called 28. You can Google it, 28 Wellness on the App Store. And we use all women, real beautiful women, natural, which is kind of funny, I guess. Sydney Sweeney made waves this week and for being a naturally beautiful woman who likes men, and all the models that shoot for us are that type. But we just created our first birth control detox, and this has been going on for like a year. We're working with the top herbalists for the last couple decades, and a lot of women are getting off the birth control pill, but their hormones are out of whack. They've been pumped full of synthetic chemicals for decades. And they're coming off the birth control pill and they're like, okay, I'm off it. I should be feeling better. But they're like gaining weight. They have acne, like they're just out of whack, they're in a bad mood, it's just awful, and they don't really know where to go, because if you go to your doctor, he's like, oh, take another birth control pill. So we started the first birth control detox. It's called Toxic Breakup, and it's a play on getting out of the most toxic relationship of your life.
And walk us through a little bit, too. I know at EV Magazine, which everyone should check out, I subscribe. I absolutely love the articles you guys write. And I love that when you search my name, my search engine optimization, your article about me is the first result. It makes me look very cool.
Good.
but
good.
You guys have done some wonderful reporting, too, on SSRIs and how they've sort of kind of used a similar playbook when it comes to young women, whether it's normalizing it or just sort of this, you know, pipeline, I would say, the conveyor belt, where they very quickly get girls to the point where they start taking these SSRIs. The numbers are staggering, how many young women are on them. So I'd love if you could, yeah. I know you had a piece not too long ago, walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, actually, if a woman's on the birth control pill, she's over 20% more likely to be prescribed an SSRI. So it's just, it's all connected.
Wow. So if people want to, you know, support this, figure out, read more about it, where can they go, specifically the 28 stuff, where can they go to do all that?
If they want to look in the 28, learn more about their bodies and their hormones, I highly recommend going to 28.co, 28.co, and signing up for that. Obviously, Toxic Breakup is much needed for so many women across the board, conservative, liberal, any type of women.
You of course have EV Magazine, but more pivoting a little more to the EV side of things, you know, going into the 2024 election, it seems like, you know, IVF, abortion, all these, you know, women-centered, women-focused issues are sort of reemerging now, at least in the political debate. I'm just curious, from your point of view, where do you think these issues are going to shake out come 2024?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I think Republicans are going to have an issue with a lot of infighting because there are so many different types of Republicans. You have Mormons, you have Catholics, you have so many different denominations, and everyone has their own religion that they follow, and they're all conservative. Whereas liberals, they're all free-for-all, progressive, push through one agenda only. So I think that infighting is going to be a big issue if people don't you know, watch that.
And on the Sydney Sweeney stuff, I know you'd also want to talk about that. I know you guys had an article go pretty viral a few days ago, I think, having to do with her, why she's so popular right now. I'd be curious for your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, guys will say it's because she has big boobs and a great body and she's blonde, which is true. But there are plenty of women with great boobs and bodies that are blonde all over Instagram every day of your life that you see. But what I think is so different with her, because a few years ago, nobody was talking about her. And there was kind of this whole war on beauty that EB Magazine's been trying to fight against and, you know, use beautiful, real women. But she's the first woman I've seen in a long time who actually loves men and plays up her femininity. She caters to the male gaze. She puts her Instagram post. She's like, did this one for the boys, for hot ones. Like, her whole PR is very pro, like, I'm the girl who loves men. And I'm like, happy, you know, and it's kind of like the girl Rachel Weisz in The Mummy, her and Brandon Fraser, they had such like a masculine feminine chemistry. And in her new movie, Anyone But You, which, you know, for your audience, it is very raunchy. It's rated R. I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but they do have that similar kind of masculine feminine dynamic. And I think that's going to make a massive comeback. And I think that's why the movie broke records and did much better than they thought.
Do you think this shows that, you know, younger girls, the generations that I think maybe a lot of the War Room posse is quick to write off, are craving or longing for these more traditional gender roles or just traditional genders? I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of talk on TikTok being banned and whatnot, but I'm not going to lie to you. The most anti-Biden stuff by far is all over TikTok. I think 70% of Gen Z on the app does not like him. And I think, honestly, that might be part of why they're trying to get it banned. So I did see Trump call out yesterday that Facebook helped rig the elections, not TikTok. So if, you know, TikTok goes down, Facebook will have more power. So it's an interesting topic, but Biden does not look good on the app at all.
The age-old question, would you rather have the Chinese Communist Party or American tech oligarchs determining the fate of your country, to which I would say a distinction without a difference. Brittany, if people want to follow you, support, read EV, get the detox, one more time, hit us with the links in your socials.
Yes, the link for the detox is shop.28.co. That is by far the best thing you will ever take. If you've ever been on the pill at any point, if you just need a detox in general, it's the first of its kind. If you know any woman getting off the pill, if you are a woman getting off the pill, that's what I would recommend. And then otherwise, you know, subscribe to EV Magazine and support us, because legacy media is getting called out, Vice is going down, and, you know, we want to have a new generation of women who love men and love being women.
Hey, when you're triggering Big Pharma and the transgender lobby, I think that means you're doing something right. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Natalie. You too.
Thank you. And Warren Posse, thank you for hanging with me. I hope you have a great weekend, too. I already been getting a lot of messages. People are really into the 28 detox. And I like men, too, just like Sydney Sweeney. So She's So Right has men's T-shirts, too. Don't worry. You guys gave me enough hate for that. You got to get the America First Golf and Country Club tee, I would say. Warren Posse, Steve will be back tomorrow morning. I'll be back at some point. You guys have a great weekend.
For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E. JaceMedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case.
Go to Jase Medical. That's one word, JASEmedical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jase, JASEmedical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jase Medical and get your Jase case today. Action, action, action. .com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. Warroom Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.